God's been good to us. If you have your Bibles, in just a moment I want to say a few more things, but if you could open to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. And while we're opening our Bibles there, I want to take the time to thank the church for your faithful prayers for our family. Again, the whole purpose of this trip coming back was for us to be able to have this post-cancer checkup for Angie. And we praise the Lord that everything went well yesterday. We have to come back again in June for one more 6 months, and then we're 2 years out. Praise the Lord. And then we can go every year. And so we praise the Lord for that. I thought she was cancer-free when they got all the cancer, and then they said they don't consider them to be cancer-free until they're 5 years out. And but as far as I'm concerned, we got a good report. She's cancer-free. Amen. And so we just thank the Lord for that. But we thank the Lord for your prayers for our family. We thank you for taking care of our family, of our son, daughter-in-law, and now granddaughter. Amen. And I know many of you were involved in helping them around the time that sweet little Jenna Ray was born. And we thank you so much for just being there for them and being a blessing to them. I want to thank the Lord as well for this church and for what y'all did for us as far as the container goes. I want to go down real quick after the service and just see what the fellowship hall looks like all full up in person. I know what it looks like on the other side because we've unloaded now 3 containers this year. Y'all sent a container, we brought a container, and then another group that we weren't expecting at all sent a container and allowed us to have a portion of what they have, and we've sent all of that out. It's hard to imagine, but the Lord has given us contacts all over Ghana, and now starting to increase in countries around Ghana, and everything that you sent in your container, minus maybe 10% that we kept right for our own ministry right there in Takoradi where we're at, everything else has been sent out and has either been completely distributed or is almost completely distributed, and we thank the Lord for that. And then again, as I mentioned, we had brought some things on our very first container. That stuff was gone long before your shipment arrived, and then this last container, we was able to get a portion of that, and now we've got a good portion of that already sent out as well. And so we thank the Lord. I really feel like we're on the small end of something very big that God is doing there in terms of getting resources to church planters, to national pastors, to missionaries, not just across Ghana, but across the 17 nations of West Africa. And when you look at how many people are there, and when you look at the great need there, I wish everybody could take a trip to a place like that. I just do. When you see the amount of people that are there, and just how many there are everywhere, and you know that if somebody doesn't get the gospel to them, they'll not get saved, and they're destined for hell. And as the preacher said earlier, just about even maybe folks sitting here tonight, I don't know about. The fact that they're blind, that's a bad place to be at. That's a really bad place to be. And while we pray for them there, and we thank you for what you're doing to reach souls there in terms of supporting missionaries there. I know you support many other missionaries, not just our family, just in West Africa alone. And then in terms of sending the container and all the resources that came with that. But then just in terms of right here tonight, as we talk about them over there, there could be somebody here, and I'm not preaching on this tonight, but there could be somebody here, as the pastor's mentioned, blind to the fact you're blind, lost to the fact that you're even lost. What a terrible place to be. What a terrible, terrible, terrible place to be. So many people die, and they end up in hellfire, and they never thought they'd end up there. I'm telling you, they never thought they'd end up in hellfire. They never thought that they were lost. They never they went to church, was raised in a church where they heard what millions of people will never get to hear their entire life. And they hear it every service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, family devotions at home. And lost. And never think I'll be the one that ends up in hellfire until it's too late. And I pray to God, if you're here tonight not saved, I pray you get saved. Just like that little girl did on Sunday night. Amen. I pray you get saved by the grace of God. A few weeks ago, I had someone ask me, or a young man told me he was saved. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, I'm saved. I said, what does that mean? And he said, I don't have a clue what that means. I said, well, why are you telling me that you're something that you don't have a clue what it means? I don't understand that. And he said, well, what does it mean? I said, well, if I was out here in the ocean and I was drowning and I screamed out for somebody to save me, what do you think I'd be asking for? He said, you'd be asking for someone to rescue you. You're dying. And I said, that's right. That's what salvation is. Eternal. We need eternally rescued because we're dying and going to hell. And we outside of the pure grace of God, you can't get saved. And there's so many that just they're lost to the fact they're lost. And I guess I'd need to keep moving on here. So we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 tonight. This is the message I really believe that I should preach. And so that's what I'm going to preach. Proverbs 13, verse 12. If y'all want to, go ahead and stand. If you're like me, you're a little bit tired and it's a little warm and you need to get the blood flowing a little bit. All right. I'm going to read verse 12 two times. Ask you to be seated. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the preaching time. The Bible said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Let's read that again. Many of you maybe know that verse, memorize that verse, but watch that verse. Read that verse with me. Think about what we're reading. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That is a fact. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Don't judge somebody else who's discouraged or depressed or disheartened because they've had a dream or a hope or an expectation or a desire that didn't come to pass when and where and how they thought it happened. God said in His Word, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But I like the last part of the verse. But, that means contrary to what you just read. But, when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I like that. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that You'd bless. Lord, You know I'm tired. My mind's tired. My body's tired. And Lord, I'm guessing there's a lot of folks here tired as well. But we're thankful that we get to be here tonight and in church tonight. And we get to worship You. We're thankful, Lord, for this one that we've heard about that got saved. Lord God, if we hear this cliche so many times, but if that's the only person ever got saved, it'd have been worth Your son dying on Calvary. We're so thankful that she got saved. And Lord, we pray that You continue to save sinners. Lord, if there's someone here tonight never been saved by the grace of God, I'm not preaching on salvation, but may Thy Spirit convict them and draw them to biblical salvation. But Lord, I pray that You take this verse now tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd give us some good advice, some good counsel from this verse. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, would minister encouragement to those that need encourage tonight. And I'm thanking You for what You'll do and how You'll bless. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I wonder how many of you tonight have ever had a dream. And I don't mean you've laid in bed and had a dream at night. I mean, you had something that you dreamed about, something that was a hope to you, that you really hoped for, something that if you think about, it makes your heart beat a little faster, or we'd say it makes your clock tick a little bit, amen? Anybody here ever have a dream, raise your hand if you've ever had a dream. I want to make sure you're still awake, all right? If you've never had a dream, I'm sorry, amen, all right? Listen, dreams run through my brain like the rivers run in the springtime, full and overflowing. Dr. Seidler Tabernacle said years ago when I was going there, he said a man ought to die with 1,000 unfulfilled dreams. And I feel like I probably got 10,000 of them. I'm being honest with you. I'm constantly dreams, hopes, expectations, desires are going through my mind. Several years ago, there was some kind of a secular, I don't know if it was some kind of a show on television or some kind of a singing thing, but some lady, I think is from Great Britain, got up and became a hero overnight. And she sang a song. I don't even know the song. I just remember the very first lyric was something about "I dreamed a dream." And when I heard that lyric, "I dreamed a dream," I thought, "My soul, I've dreamed hundreds of dreams." Amen. Well, you wouldn't want me to try to sing like she did. Amen. Martin Luther King Jr. He gave that great speech. Some would say starting with "I had a dream." Well, I'm telling you, I've had hundreds and thousands, and some of you probably have too. Amen. I think some of you are wired the same way that I'm wired. You're just a dreamer. And we need dreamers. And we need visionaries. The work of God would come to a halt without dreamers and without visionaries. But I want to talk tonight, I want to talk about this thought: when your dreams discourage you. Because what do you do? You know, let me slow down. I'm telling you, I'm tired, all right? Many Christians wonder if their hopes and dreams are scripturally permissible because their hope or their vision or their dream, their desire, may not be specifically spelled out in the Scripture. Somebody may say, I've got this hope about a ministry. I've got this hope about a mate. I've got this hope about a family. I've got this hope about a job. And I really feel like it's a good dream. It's a good expectation. But I don't know if it's right. And I pray that it hasn't happened, that it hasn't come to pass. And I don't know if God wants me to have it. And I want to address that real quickly before I get into the bulk of the message. And I promise that I won't preach long tonight, all right? But I got to address this part first. Romans 15, verse 13. Turn there, if you would. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13 in your Bible. And we'll read that together. Romans 15, verse 13. I love this verse. This verse encourages me. In fact, this whole chapter, this whole book encourages me, to be honest. All right, but watch this verse. Now, the God of, what's that next word? The God of hope. God is described in Romans 15 as the God of hope. And I want to say this, He's the God of expectations. He's the God of vision. He's the God of desires. He's the God of dreams. God is not sitting up in heaven tonight, passionless, with no kind of vision, with no kind of burden, with no kind of hope for your life or for your ministry or your church. God is a God of expectations, dreams, anticipation, and vision. And furthermore, according to the same verse, He said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. What's that next phrase? That ye may abound in hope. I'm telling you, it is the will of God that His people abound in hope. God wants us to be abounding in vision, to be abounding in dreams, to be abounding with anticipation and expectations. These are not wrong things. Matthew Henry, commenting on this verse, listen to what he said. The joy and peace of believers arise chiefly from their hopes. What is laid out upon them in terms of suffering is little compared with what is laid up for them. Therefore, the more hope they have, the more joy and peace they have. Now watch this, because I like this statement. Matthew Henry said, we do then abound in hope when we hope great things from God. So I don't think it's wrong to have many dreams, even if my specific name is not attached to that specific promise in the Scripture. I don't believe it's wrong to have dreams and hopes and visions and anticipations and expectations and desires. But I think the question that really needs to be asked is this question: what determines our dreams? What determines our expectations? What determines our vision? What determines our anticipation? As the children of God, you know this, as the children of God, our hopes and dreams should never be determined by the values, the philosophies, and the ideals of this world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So if that is where our dream arises out of, then it's not scriptural. If our hopes and our dreams and our desires are based upon or built on something that is worldly, a philosophy, an ideal, an expectation that the world has put upon you, then it's not a right hope, it's not a right desire, it's not a right dream. Our hopes and dreams should be good and lawful desires that are based and built upon the promises of God's Word. Psalms 119, verse number 49 said, remember the Word unto thy servant, watch this, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So our hopes, young people, should be built upon the Word of God. They should be based upon the Word of God. And if you have a hope tonight, if you have an anticipation, if you have an expectation, if you have a dream that is not contrary to this book, but rather it's in accordance with this book, maybe God didn't come to you in the middle of the night and say, hey, this is my promise to you, that you're going to have a family with this as your wife and this is,
many children. This is the exact ministry. Nonetheless, if you have a desire to be married, there is nothing wrong with that. That's a scriptural desire. Amen. If you have a desire to have children, there is nothing wrong with that. I've counseled so many people who wanted to have children, could not have children, and said, "What, should I just quit praying?" I've counseled so many young people that say, "Man, I want to get married, but man, there's nobody coming along. I'm 28, 30, 35, 40 years old. And should I just quit praying? Maybe I'm praying for the wrong thing." Can I tell you, if your hope, if your vision, if your dream is based and built upon God's Word, then keep on hoping and keep on visioning and keep on dreaming. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Upman. Thank you. Here's what I want to say. Romans 15:4 says that God has written His Word. We'll back up there. And this is what I'm getting, because I'm trying to give you a long introduction for a short message now. But verse number 4, whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our learning. So what He's telling us, because I'm going to give you three men in the Bible tonight that I think would give us counsel when our dreams discourage us. Whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience. Now let's stop right there. What does the Bible tell us in Romans 5 patience does for us? It works experience, and experience works what? Hope. There's that word hope. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Right there, just in that sentence, God's saying, I want you to have a double hope. Amen. That through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Well, if we got everything when we wanted it, if our dreams were fulfilled the day we had them, if our visions happened within a month of having them, amen, if our anticipations happened within a year of having them, now we wouldn't need patience, would we? We wouldn't have to have the stories of the Bible to comfort us, amen, to cause us to continue to hope on a promise that is based upon the Word of God, not contrary to God's principles. So what kind of hope can we give to a barren woman from the Bible? Stories like the story of Hannah. Stories like Sarah. Stories like Elizabeth. That does not mean every woman that's barren will have a child, but I'm telling you, we can use those scriptures to give a woman who wants to have a child hope from the Word of God. When people lose hope, they're hopeless, and that's a bad place to be for a child of God. What hope can we give to an individual who wants to see their family get saved, and their family really don't care to get saved? Why, we can give them the hope of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. I don't know about you, but there's many times that I've prayed for a family member and those words have come to my mind, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You say, well, I don't know what all that means. I don't either, amen, but it gives me hope for some of my house, amen, that's not yet saved by the grace of God. I don't understand everything in the Word of God. I can't always say, this is how it's going to happen, this is how it's going to be fulfilled. But I believe the Word of God. And I allow it to give me hope when I otherwise begin to feel hopeless and discouraged. What hope can we give to a young man or young woman who's praying about a mate and there's no one on the horizon? You've listened to everything on courtship you can listen to, and there's nothing more to listen to. Amen. And you followed every message you can on Dayton, and there's nothing left to listen to. I mean, you followed everything. You fell asleep like one preacher said. You woke up like another preacher said. You started looking like the Bible said. Amen. Whoso findeth a wife. Amen. You can't find it if you don't look it. Amen. And you've done all of that, and you say, well, I still ain't found anybody. What hope can we get? What about the story of Isaac and Rebekah? Amen. He's 40 years old. He's just serving the Lord. Amen. And God brings along the right lady at the right time. Amen. Time means nothing to God, but timing is everything to God. So we can give this kind of hope. Amen. What kind of hope can we give to an individual who's facing opposition to their work for God? Whether it's a young person taking a stand on the job, whether it's a person taking a stand in school, whether it's a person taking a stand with their family, and you say, I'm facing giants of opposition. We give the story of David and Goliath. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who faced opposition as well, but did right. And let their hope be built on nothing less than the promises of God's Word. So I want to say tonight, thank God for dreams and thank God for dreamers. But what do we do when our dreams and our hopes and our expectations don't pan out for us the way that we thought they would, or when we thought they would, or how we thought that they would? Because I'm pretty sure if there's anybody in this building like me tonight, some of you are there. Amen.
you've had dreams and hopes, and they've like that one song said, they've like sand, they've just fallen through your finger, like grains of sand, and they're gone. And the very thing that, man, made you wake up in the morning, now won't let you sleep at night. The very thing that, man, put that extra skip in your step just makes you want to stop and cry. The very thing that, man, I know this was God's will. And I thought this is how my life was going to look. And this is what I planned for my family. And this is what I desired for a home. And I had this, I know God gave me these dreams. And man, God answered my prayers. And God's, and in some cases, not only does a person not have a dream, sometimes God gives us the dream and then God asks for us to give the dream back to Him. That's hard. That's hard. What do we do when our dreams discourage us? So real quickly tonight, I want to look at Joseph. Because he had dreams. Joseph didn't give himself those dreams. God Almighty did. But his dreams led him to a dungeon. And no doubt, if we were going to be truthful tonight, there's some of you tonight. And I don't. The only ones I know here is my own kids. Amen. I don't know the rest of you. I don't know what you're going through. No doubt, there's somebody here in a dungeon right here tonight. In your mind, you're in a dungeon right there. What encouraged you now discourages you. What fired you up now depresses you. You are heart sick. And I'm telling you, I don't believe there's anything wrong with it. It's a fact from God's Word. You're human and you're heart sick. What about Abraham? God gave Abraham a dream. I mean, God gave him a covenant in Genesis 12 and 15. We'll come to it in just a minute. And then God said, I want you to give that dream back to me. I want you to take that dream and kill it. That's the dream that I gave you, and I want you to kill that dream. And then what about David? David was given a dream one day. He was just down taking care of sheep. That's all he was doing, preacher, just taking care of sheep, just being faithful, doing what he was supposed to do, being obedient to the will of his father. And he gets anointed by the man of God to be the next king of Israel. And he spends the next 20 years of his life running around like a fugitive in and out of the country. That's where his dream... You think David ever got discouraged? Read the book of Psalms. You better believe he got discouraged. Amen. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, amen. When the desire cometh, I can personally testify, not just from the Word of God, but from personal experience, when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Amen. So let's look at these three men quickly tonight, very quickly, and we'll be through, all right? Number one, let's bring Joseph up. And I can't act out a message, right? But I can slow it down and at least act like I'm acting out the message, okay? And so I'm going to preach a little bit slower. And we're going to bring Joseph up. And let's just say Joseph's sitting in this chair. And maybe you're here tonight. And you come up to Joseph and say, Joseph, I'd like to talk to you because I had a dream. I had a hope. And it was not against the Word of God. In fact, I believe God gave me this hope. I believe God gave me this dream. And Joseph, my dream has not come to pass. This promise that God gave me in His Word that I believe was to God, from God to me, I believe it applied to me. It's not happened yet. Joseph, would you give me some advice? I believe he could. Because Joseph, he came to the breakfast table one morning in Genesis, I believe, chapter number 32. And Joseph, excuse me, Genesis chapter number 37. And in fact, let's just turn back there real quickly. Genesis chapter number 37. And here's Joseph at the breakfast table in Genesis 37 verse 5. And the Bible said, and Joseph dreamed a dream. Now his was a dream that he had at night while he was sleeping, all right? Because God at that time, the Bible wasn't yet complete. God spoke in that fashion, all right? So he dreamed a dream and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Why'd they hate him the more? They already hated him because their father loved him more than the rest of them. And he'd given them a coat of many colors. And so that's why the Bible said they hated him yet the more. So he tells him his dream in verse 6 and 7. And in verse 8, his brethren, and I want you to listen to this tonight, his brethren did not like his dream. His brethren did not like him because he had the dream. And the Bible said in verse number 8, his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Can I tell you something? You may have a dream. You may have a hope. You may have a vision. You may have something that causes your heart to skip a beat. And your brethren don't like you. And whether it's physical or sometimes even spiritual. And they don't like you. And they don't understand you. And they don't understand your dream. And they don't understand your hope. They don't understand your vision. Can I tell you something?
Don't worry about the brethren. It wasn't their dream. It was Joseph's dream. So Joseph doesn't have to answer for them. They're not answered for him. He's answered for him. Can I tell you? Quit worrying about what the brethren think about you and your dreams. Amen. And when I talk about dreams again, I've laid the context of what I'm talking about. Amen. Biblical hopes and desires. Amen. Don't worry about what other people think about it. It's your dream to have. There are folks that look at me and they still can't see past. I was Jimmy when I was a kid. Amen. And they can't see past Jimmy. They never will. I've got family that'll never see past. They'll never see to the dreams that God has given me and that drive me. They'll never understand it because it's not their dream. It's not their purpose. It's not God's will or God's way for them. Amen. But it is for me. But if we could come to Joseph, I got to hasten. If we could come to Joseph and say, Joseph, I'd like some advice. I'd like some counsel. I have a dream and it's not come to pass. What would Joseph say? Well, let's read verse number 9. The Bible said, and he dreamed yet another dream. Here's what I believe. I'm being honest with you. This is real simple. It may be too simple, but it worked for me and it helped me. I believe if Joseph was sitting right here and you said, Joe, what advice could we get from you? We have a dream and it's deferred. We have a hope and it's deferred. We have desire and it's deferred. Man, I thought I'd be here at this age. It's deferred. I thought I'd have a family. I thought I'd have this. I thought I'd be in this ministry. I thought my church would be at this place. And none of it's happening. You know what I think Joseph would say? I think Joseph would say, keep on dreaming. Just keep on dreaming. If God gave you the dream, if God gave you the vision, if God gave you the hope, if God gave you the desire, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Just keep on dreaming. Keep on praying. Keep on doing right. Keep on serving faithful in the dungeon. If that's where God wants you, God's got you there. God's proving you there. Just be faithful where you are, and don't quit dreaming. I cannot tell you how many people have come and said, Pastor Rubman, should I stop praying for this because it hasn't happened? If God's given you a vision, a dream, a hope, an expectation from His Word, don't quit praying. Don't quit trying. Don't quit expecting. Don't quit anticipating. You say, well, it discourages me, but just keep on going. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Amen. I promise you it is. And the desire will come. And then let's move on to Abraham. Let's move on to Abraham. I'm going to skip about 20 minutes worth of preaching for your sake and for mine. Amen. Abraham. If we could sit Abraham up in the chair and say, Abraham, we already told Joseph our situation. We'd like to get some advice from you. We'd like to get some counsel from you, Abraham. We know that you had some dreams. You had some promises given to you in the Word of God. I believe Abraham would have some counsel for us tonight as well. The story of Abraham, if you'll turn to Romans chapter number 4, again, quickly, but Romans chapter 4, the story of Abraham teaches us to believe in hope against hope. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let's just read Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, let's come down to let's back up to verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. There may be some be nots in your life right now, but God sees them as though they were, if that's God's will for your life. Amen. Now watch verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And we'll just read a part of verse 19. And being not weak in faith, I'm going to stop there because I'll keep reading. I want to preach that whole passage, and I can't. All right. What that literally means, and some of you may not get this, and so I'll try to explain it. I sometimes read commentaries, and I'm like, man, that's great. And then I preach it, and I'm like, well, nobody got that. All right. And so I'm going to give you what the commentator said, but then I want to try to bring some context down there to where we can grab a hold of it. What that phrase, who against hope believed in hope, what it literally means is that against all the usual and apparent grounds of hope, he believed in that which was promised to excite his hope. You say, preacher, that still didn't help me. All right. In Genesis 12, God promised Abraham that he would have descendants. He gave an Abrahamic covenant. While there's many, many promises in the Abrahamic covenant, there's three specific. There's seed, There's a problem with this. God, the problem's not with God, but God promised him seed. I'm talking about as the sand of the sea for multitude, as the stars of the sky for number, innumerable. There's a problem. Abraham's an old man, and him and his wife can't have a baby. So how are we going to have sand of the sea kind of seed and stars of the sky and multitude if we can't even have a baby? You know, having grandkids starts with having a kid. And you know the story. And he can't have a kid. God promised. He took him up on top of a mountain and said, look to the north, south, east, and west. Everything you see, thy seed's going to inherit it all. Brother Brian, that's a pretty big promise for a man that can't have a baby. Amen. Your seed's going to... And then he promised universal redemption. He said, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth, and in thy seed, singular, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And not only are you going to have this great big amount of descendants out of you and Sarah, but they're going to own all this land, and then redemption is going to come to the world through them. Well, Abraham couldn't have a child. God reiterated the covenant, Genesis 15. Sometime in there, his wife talked him into trying to make the promise of God happen. Can I tell you, young person, don't try to make the dreams that you believe God has given you to happen. You try to move things on your timetable and don't let God work on his timetable, you'll mess the plan up big time. I'm telling you, we'll learn that in the next story as well. Abram listened to his wife, and that's one time he shouldn't listen to his wife. Amen. But you know what? Finally, here, Brother Brian, finally, here comes Isaac. And Isaac is the promised seed. And you say, yeah, but how do you know that? Now, I just had a Muslim man say, how do you know that? You say, Isaac, how do you know that? Because God said to Abram in Genesis 22, take now thy son Isaac, thine only son. He's the son of the covenant. He's the son that God recognized as the seed through which those descendants would come, who would inherit the land, and through which universal redemption for the world would come. Can you imagine? I know how excited I am right now. We came in today, and I held little Jenna in my arms. I'm a grandpa now. And Miss Angie is a grandma now. She held little Jenna in her arms. And I'm like, man, I can't believe this. We waited for years for a little girl. God never gave us a little girl, but now we got a little girl through our son and daughter-in-law. As excited as I am, I'm only 48 years old. Abraham, if I remember correctly, he is about 99 years old when Isaac comes. Could you imagine, preacher, how excited he was when he held little Isaac in? I mean, he had wanted, he had hoped. He had desired. God had given him promises, multiple occasions, and he still. And then finally, if this could be little Isaac, my handkerchief's going to be Isaac. And there he's holding little Isaac in his. And who knows if he nicknamed him? I've already got nicknames for sweet little Jenna Ray. Amen. All right. But there's little Isaac in Abraham's arm, and he's holding Isaac. And man, what a blessing! This is the dream. This is the hope that God gave to Abraham. Remember that word, hope. So Abraham has hope. God not only gave him hope, God saw things that were, even though they were not, but now they are. And he's holding it in his arms. This is the hope. This is the fulfillment of his faith. This is the dream. God has given it to him. But in Genesis 22, God said, I want you to take that son. I want you to take that hope. I want you to take that dream. By now he's a young lad. He's not a little boy. He's strong enough to put a load of wood on his back and walk up Mount Moriah. He's a pretty strong young man. And he walks up that mountain. And God said, I want you to take him up there. And I want you to sacrifice him. Now, wait a minute, Lord. That doesn't make sense. Lord, you gave me this hope. I know I did, Abraham. But I'm asking you to believe me. Take him and sacrifice him. Lord, you gave me this woman for my wife. I know I did. Now I'm calling her home. Lord, you've given me this family. Lord, you've given me this ministry. Lord, you've given me this job. Whatever it may be for you, you felt like God gave you a hope and God gave you a dream. And now you feel like God's asked you to give it back up and he's taking it back. And can I tell you that when the Bible said Abraham against hope believed in hope, it literally meant that against that first promise that God gave him that he would have a son, against that promise, he's going to kill that promise. It's called death of a vision. death of a dream. God's going to take that. And Abram has to lay him down on an altar. And Abram has to be willing to give him back to God. Who against hope, at the bottom of the mountain, he says to his servants, stay here while I and the lad go yonder and worship. I don't know. I'm being completely transparent. I don't know that I could be where Abraham was there, preacher. I don't know that I could be that. I don't know. I've never had to be in that situation. And I hope I'd have grace in that situation to worship God if God asked me to give my dream back to Him. But he said, I and the lad, he knew what he was going to do on that mountain. And he said, we're going to go up and worship. He understood that giving that dream back to God was an act of obedience. And an act of obedience means an act of worship, because obedience is worship. And he said, we're going to worship and we're going to come down again. Against hope, he's killing that first promise, expecting that God, who gave him that first promise, will come through and raise him from the dead if that's what needs to happen, so that that seed promise is fulfilled that he gave him. And you know the rest of that story. He gets on top of the mountain. And there he is. And he's ready to kill his own son. And the angel of the Lord says, stop. And there's a ram. And if you follow me on Facebook at all, I always, Jehovah Jireh is probably my favorite expression. That's probably my favorite name for God. Amen. In the mountain, the Lord will provide. Amen. And it's not just a financial provision. I mean, that's, man, for us, that's salvation. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And God provided. Against hope, he believed in hope. So if you were to come here tonight and say, Abraham, I have a dream, and that dream's been deferred, and I'm sick. And I mean, I'm sick to my stomach. I don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. I can't even hardly go. Abraham, what do I do? Here's what I think, Abraham. I'm telling you the truth. If Joseph was here, I think Joseph would say, keep on dreaming. I think if Abraham was sitting here, I think Abraham would say something just as simple as this. And I know this is simple. This is not profound. I think he would say, you want my advice? I do. I want your advice, Mr. Abraham. I think he'd say, give your dream back to God. If God gave you your dream to start with, you can trust God to take him. You can trust God to take her. You can trust God to take it. You can trust God with your dreams. You can trust God with your hope. Your hope can't be bigger than your God. You can't have so much focus on your hope that you lose focus on your God. Amen. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Job said, naked, I came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. Or the Lord given, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to understand that God's greater than our hopes. The God of hope, He's the God of hope. He's great. That's where our hope comes from. So if God gives us hope, and then God seems to take it back from us, amen, you've got to be willing to... I know it hurts. I know it hurts worse than anything. But if you've got to be willing to give it back to God. You can trust God with your dreams. You can trust God with His promises. The promises of God are in Jesus Christ. Yea and amen. You can trust Him. If you can't trust God, then what are we doing, period? If we can't trust God, why are we even here? If you can't trust God with a hope, if you can't trust God with a mate, if you can't trust God with money, if you can't trust God with a ministry, if you can't trust God with the timing, with the how, the where, with how it's going to look, hey, things don't always work out the way we think they're going to work out. But if you can't trust God with a hope... What are we trusting Him with our soul for? Amen. You can trust Him. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. I'm saying we can trust God. You can trust God. You can trust Him with your dreams. Amen. You can trust Him. He's trustworthy. He doesn't want to hurt you. I promise you, God doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to help you. He doesn't want to make you bitter. He wants to make you better. He doesn't want to weaken you. He wants His strength to be perfected in you. Amen. And let's get to my last point. David. Let's talk about King David just for a minute. David, if we could bring him on the platform tonight, tell him our same story and said, David, would you give us counsel? See, David, as I already mentioned, young folks, David, he was just a young fella out in the sheepfold watching over the sheep. He was just happy and content to be out there killing a bear if needed, killing a lion if needed. He was just happy and content to take care of, to guide and guard and feed and lead the flock that his father had given him. I think that's why God picked him to start with, to be honest with you. Amen. One of the reasons.
He wasn't looking for God to promise him the throne of Israel. But Samuel showed up at his house one day. And Samuel said, man, I've come to... And man, in those days, they didn't have the Word of God like we have. When a man like Samuel showed up, you knew it was the man of God. When he poured out that horn of oil, amen, and he anointed somebody, everybody took that serious. I mean, that they weren't playing games. That wasn't a joke. It wasn't like a gotcha moment. It was like, you're going to be the next king. And one by one, he went through the sons. And one by one, he finally said, don't you have another son around here? Because God sent me to your house. And he said, well, there's one out there taking care of the sheep. He said, call him. And he brings him in. And there's David, just a young man. He wasn't looking for a dream. I'm just telling you, he wasn't. Brother song leader, he wasn't looking for a dream. He just looking to keep on serving his father out there. Amen. He wasn't looking for some kind of crazy hope or some kind of, expectation. But God, through Samuel, anointed him to be the next king of Israel in one moment. And that turned his whole life upside down. Can you imagine? I wonder how David felt the next morning. That was a surreal moment yesterday. Man, Samuel came. Did that really happen? He anointed me. He got the wrong guy. He anointed me to be the king of Israel. I wonder if David would have had a cell phone, brother. Hey, he had been Googling, what are the responsibilities of the king of Israel? What is the king supposed to do? Because I'm going to be the king. It's amazing. He already had those responsibilities with a bunch of sheep. Amen. Well, what about that? You say, well, he becomes the king. No. You see, the current king of Israel didn't want to give his job up. And the current king of Israel was anointed by the same prophet. And he knew that God meant business. And he had already been told by the prophet, your days are done. God's through with you. And here comes David. And King Saul began to realize, my days are numbered. And God's bringing this man. And you know what King Saul began to do? He began to try to kill David. He began to try to chase David. And he chased David. Now, I want you to listen to me real quick, because I'm going to bring up that point I brought up a minute ago with Abraham. We'll bring it up again right here. Because if we came to David, I think there's some clear counsel he would give us tonight. David, one time he's being chased, two times actually, but one time specifically, he's being chased by the king. And this isn't like a flag football kind of thing, you know, where I'm chasing you, grabbing the flag, and I got you. Or tagging you. This is, I'm chasing you to kill you. I'm going to kill you, David. I'm going to end your life. You're not going to be the next king. My son, Jonathan, is going to be the next king. And they chase him into a cave. And David and his men are hiding in that cave. And the king Saul and his men, David's not there as far as they're concerned. And they say, this is a good place to lie down and go to sleep. And you know what happened right there? Young people especially, you better listen to me. Those men around David, those mighty men, they said, the Lord, he's going to make your dream come to pass today. I mean, Saul is right there. If you're known to be the next king and he's dead, then that means you're the next king. And we'll go down there and we'll just destroy him right now. You can make your dream happen today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait on the Lord. We can make your dream. You better be careful right here. I'm telling you, young people, you better be careful. Everybody, you better be careful right here. You better learn the counsel. Because here's what David told them. He said, touch not thine anointed. We're not getting ahead of God here. God's the one that called me to start with. God's the one that gave me the promise to start with. And when God's good and ready to fulfill that promise, he can do it without my help. Amen. And God, in the process of time, did just that and established the entire kingdom under the hand of David. So if we come to David, and I'm closing right here, and I'm going to turn it back over to the preacher in just a moment. If we could come to David, turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Verse number 13 and 14. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. The Bible said, and this is David. This is David talking. He said, I had fainted. Maybe that's where somebody is here tonight. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You just want to faint. You just want to go lay down and never wake back up again. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Here it is. David, what advice would you give me? Here it is. wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Remember, it's the heart that gets sick. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then turn quickly to Psalm 37, verse number 34. Psalm 37, verse 34. David again is speaking, and David says in Psalms 37, verse 34, and I would love to read all three or four verses, but I'm just going to read the first phrase of verse 34. He says, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Can I say, if that's you tonight, and your hope's been deferred, or you feel like your hope's been discouraged, or your hope's been taken from you completely, listen, can I tell you, don't lose hope. Keep on dreaming. Can I tell you, give your dream back to God. And can I tell you, just wait on the Lord and be of good courage and allow Him to strengthen thine heart. Let's pray. Lord, please now take this message and encourage the people of God, I pray. Lord, I pray that if there are those here who've had their hopes deferred and their hearts sick tonight, Lord, may they take these promises of old that were written for our learning, and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might You give us hope one more time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, would you be obedient? Would you just obey the Spirit of God if He's dealt with you this evening?